Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com.
From the Baltimore Sun, I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Roughly Speaking, episode 327 for Thanksgiving Week 2017. Even if you don't drink wine, you're going to find today's show interesting because while it's a lot about wine, it's also about Maryland and the interesting families who make wine. Did you know that Maryland has 70 wineries now? That some of them make mead and hard cider and even wine ice cream? Did you know there's a vineyard in Carroll County selling wines in cans and that canned wine is a thing now? Did you know that Maryland wineries produced 467,000 gallons in a year and had sales of $47 million? Maryland wine has come a long way in the last couple of decades, and if you haven't been paying attention, you might have missed the growth in both the number of wineries and in the quality of the wines they produce. So what I propose, during a time when people are buying a lot of wine for the holidays, is that we take a quick and breezy podcast tour of Maryland's 70 wineries, and that we do this with Kevin Addix. As executive director of the Maryland Winemakers Association, Kevin's familiar with all the association's members and what they produce. He's tasted a lot of wine, too, this guy. He wrote a book on Maryland wineries back when there were little more than a dozen vineyards in the state. Okay, before our tour gets started, here's a brief overview from Kevin.
In the last 15 years, we've finally learned how to make top quality, world quality wine in Maryland. And so there are dozens of new names of wineries that are making their mark. When we're talking about Maryland wines, there are inexpensive Maryland wines that are $9, $10, $11, and there are expensive Maryland wines, and that's all relative, but we do have $60 and $70 and above bottles of wine. Pricing comes down to scale and marketability. If you're a small producer, it's going to cost you more money to make a small bottle of wine. We've got newer generations of wine drinkers who are predisposed to seeking out local product. It is sometimes still a hard sell to take a Maryland wine into a restaurant if you've got a wine buyer there who's been around the local scene more than 10 years. They remember a different local wine. They're remembering a local wine that maybe was not winning international double gold medals, which is about as high as you can get.
I know of one winery in Maryland that's done very well, winning awards in recent years. It's a fairly new winery. So I went into one of my favorite wine stores, and the owner of that store was completely unfamiliar with that winery. Just hadn't taken the time to learn about it.
Yeah, and one of the reasons is that there is a market of locopores, people who really like local wine, that are going direct to that winery, joining that winery's wine club. The winery is trying to keep up with the demand for their wine and never actually makes it out into the market. They're very anxious to get onto restaurant wine lists, certainly the restaurants that focus on local products and produce. They want to be on there as kind of a badge of honor. But many of the new wineries, unless you're a visitor and unless you're on the wine club, you're not going to see those wines.
Now, we're going to do this in alphabetical order with Kevin providing a little information about each of the 70 wineries listed on the association's website. We start 70 miles from Baltimore in Washington County, where there are six vineyards, one of them in Sharpsburg, on what used to be a 55-acre dairy farm. Antietam Creek Vineyards.
George and Joan, great folks out in Washington County, making, among other things, a beautiful Bordeaux blend, which I just had the opportunity to try yesterday. I think it was a 2015, leather and tobacco and sweet tea aromas.
Bassignani Winery, established by Bert Bassignani in 1986.
I really have fallen in love with some of his heritage varieties. Save All is one that, that he grows from a very old vineyard, one of Maryland's original vineyards in Carroll County. Beautiful wine, great Bordeaux blend called Lorenzino, great Cabernet Sauvignon as well.
Big Cork Vineyards.
Big Cork is in Roarsville, which is in Washington County. Go to Hagerstown, turn left. Beautiful wines. as the name leads you to believe, they are over-the-top wines, some of the most voluptuous, luxurious wines, a Malbec, a Petit Verdot, a Viognier, Sauvignon Blanc, which I, again, tried yesterday, and it's just tropical and has tropical undertones and passion fruit in addition to grapefruit. Just really incredible wines and a phenomenal tasting room.
Black Ankle Vineyards. I think I have sampled Black Ankle wine a couple of years ago.
You probably have. So they were what we call one of our game changers, where when they came on the scene in 2005, 2006, they came out with wines that immediately won our two state competitions. And it got all the other winemakers to turn and look and start asking, okay, well, what are they doing that's different? And it had to do with how they're growing their grapes and how they're making their wine. And it truly did lead to a sea change in the industry. They're in Mount Airy.
Next one on our list is Blue Mountain Wine Crafters.
Very cool folks. They are in Funkstown, Washington County, and they started out as a ferment-your-own wine shop where you'd go in and buy supplies to make your own wine. And they've started making wines from kits that they're selling as an example of how you can make your own wines. And now they're purchasing some local fruit as well. Now they're making their own wine and using some local fruit also.
Bodegas Gonzalez Rogerio.
Based in Cecil County, they have been in the horse industry and have a familial heritage from Puerto Rico. Really, really great folks. Some of their wines, including their Albarino, are top-notch.
Bordy Vineyards.
Bordy's one of our grand, happy vineyards. 1945, they were founded. People are going to be familiar with a lot of their Icon Series wines, which are the ones that you'll find in wine shops, but where they're really excelling are in their Landmark Series wines, which are all estate-grown fruit either on their property in Baltimore County. They also have a vineyard in Frederick County. Beautiful Bordeaux blends. Again, had a blind tasting yesterday, and some of their wines excelled.
Broken Spoke Vineyard and Winery in Earlville, Maryland.
Just had a rosé from them and a white called Wordplay White. Some really, really good wines. And again, new producer, opened this year for the first time. I think they're going to be one to watch.
Okay, the next one on the list is Bordelot Vineyard, the Water's Edge.
Water's Edge. So that's the translation of Bordelot, and it is literally right on the Wicomico Creek. So it's a beautiful venue. Lots of weddings happen there.
Eastern Shore,
Wicomico County, south of Salisbury. You go to Salisbury, then you turn right. It's absolutely stunning. The guy behind it, Tom Shelton, is the former president of Purdue, the chicken folks, and took everything he knew about making high-quality agricultural product and is making unbelievable Chardonnays. He has four Chardonnays from stainless steel fermented all the way up to barrel fermented, so everything in between. Bordeaux blend, a Meritage, Cabernet Franc is amazing, Malbec's amazing. He won the Governor's Cup a couple of years ago with an Amarone-style Cabernet.
Cascia Vineyards, that's C-A-S-C-I-A.
Cascia Vineyards on Kent Island, right over the Bay Bridge in Stevensville. Mark and Kim Cascia. And Mark has been producing some really interesting wines. He was one of the first in the state to grow Semillon. He's one of the first to grow Nebbiolo. So we've had some really, really great wines from Mark Cascia.
Catoctin Breeze Vineyard in the Thermont area.
They're Syrah. Is incredible. Estate-grown Syrah, estate-grown Cabernet Franc, really top-notch wines.
Caris Winery.
They are in downtown Cumberland, right on the C&O Canal. They're using some local grapes. They're using some fruit from out of state, but they're making some really interesting varieties. And now they're distilling. So there was a great, I guess it was kind of a brandy that we tried the other day, which was super interesting. But he's catching a lot of folks who are coming into the state to come to Cumberland, a lot of big events in Cumberland, and he's right on this great green space.
Okay, speaking of downtowns, or in cities anyway, Charm City Mead Works.
It's a very hip, trendy little shop. Charm City Mead Works, two guys started this, and they're making mead, which is honey wine. And rather than traditional mead, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes with another one of our wineries, they're making easy drinking, lighter style, effervescent mead, typically in a can. They also sell a little bomber jar, which is awesome looking. They came on the scene. They've become so popular.
Really?
Yeah.
People like mead.
They love mead. This is the first kind of universal mead.
And not just people like Henry VIII complexes.
No, there's not a whole lot of dressing up when you're drinking this product.
Chateau Boudet.
They are located on the Bohemia River in Cecil County.
So is this the place you were raving about, their tasting room?
It is a Napa Valley tasting room, but it beats Napa because you turn around, look out the window, and you've got the Bohemia River. So it's
wow.
A stunning, beautiful place, really glossy tasting room, and the wines match. They've got a Sauvignon Blanc, which is incredible. They've got a Cabernet blend and a Cab Franc, really, really top wines.
So they kind of rolled out this year for the public, right?
Yes.
With the tasting rooms. How long would these folks have been making wine in order for them to have wine that you think is pretty good?
They have been making wine for a number of years and have a winemaker who interned here at Bordy Vineyards and worked for Bordy for a while and then went back to South Africa and then came back. So he's a South African winemaker making really, really delicious reds and this incredible Sauvignon Blanc, and they've got a sparkling wine that's coming out as well shortly.
Clovelly Vineyards, Clovelly. Where are they, Kevin?
They're in that same neck of the woods in Queen Anne's County, right outside of Chestertown, and they have made some really, really beautiful reds, some simple reds and some more complex reds. They have made some white blends as well.
Cool Ridge Vineyard.
Cool Ridge is the winner of our 2017 Governor's Cup with a blend called Cool Ridge Red, the Bordeaux blend. Super approachable. It's something, I think the vintage was 2015, so it's got 2 years of age on it. Easy drinking, but super pairable. I had it with a filet the other night. Great. They have a Cool Ridge White. They've got an Albarino. They've also got a Gruner Veltliner, which has become a popular grape in Maryland. It's an Austrian grape. But it's an aromatic variety, so it goes along with Albarino and Viognier and even Pinot Gris, which can be very pretty on the nose.
Cove Point Winery.
Cove Point Winery, operating in southern Maryland right near Cove Point Lighthouse in Lusby. Tim and Cheryl Lewis, great folks, and they've made some really cool wines over the years. They make great Cab Franc and some other varieties from local fruit.
This next vineyard has an interesting logo. It's a barn silos with a crow and very cool font on the name of the vineyard, Crow Vineyard.
They are in Kennedyville, Kent County. Crow Vineyard makes Barbera. That's one of their big varieties.
Mm-hmm.
Barbera Rosé is a perennial winner in our competitions. It's just plush and delicious and great. Roy and Judy Crow have a full farm operation and a farm stay. So it's a great tasting room and a great facility. But if you want to really get into it, you can stay at their bed and breakfast, which is a farm stay, meaning, yes, you'll pay a fee, but you're also going to pay for your breakfast by working in the farm. They've got an Angus operation, and you'll get dirty.
Deep Creek Cellars in Garrett County. Is this the only vineyard of ours in Maryland in Garrett County?
It is the only winery in Garrett County, and Paul and Nadine have been making some really interesting wines since they opened in, I believe it was 1998. Paul Roberts, he's become fairly famous for using the Norton grape, Norton, and then blending it. He's got a great blend called Watershed Red, which is wonderful. He makes a Pinot, one of the few Pinot Noir in Maryland, from fruit grown in Allegheny County. Pinot Blanc as well, so some really interesting varieties.
It's interesting because he's certainly in the frostiest county in Maryland, the coldest one.
He is, but when you do the analysis, you'll find that we're no frostier in those parts of the state than in Alsace and some other cooler climate
in Europe.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dijon Vineyard in Hides, that's in Baltimore County.
It is in Baltimore County. It's a stone's throw from Bordy Vineyards. Dijon makes some really interesting wines. One of them is a Sweet Denise, which is a Vidal. Really cool wines. Festivus is one that gets very popular. It's a sweeter red wine, which around this time of year is very, very popular.
Dove Valley Vineyard and Winery. Where is Dove Valley, Kevin?
Dove Valley is in Cecil County, so they are in Rising Sun, and they make a wide variety of wines. Their peach wine did very well in our competition. They also make some dry reds. One of my favorites from there is just called Dove Valley Red, and it's a red blend, which is excellent. They make a dessert wine as well, and they're also getting into the brewing business.
Dragonfly Farms Vineyard and Winery.
Dragonfly consists of two women, Sue and Claudia, who have been in just about every agricultural business. They were in the flower business, veggie business, CSA business, honey business. Then they got into making vinegar. So they planted grapes and currants to make vinegar out of, high-end vinegar, and had some success with that. Then got into making wine and released a Syrah and a Cabernet Sauvignon and a Chardonnay, and then have moved into rebranding as Love Happiness Sangria. So that pretty much sums it up. They are the happiest people serving three or four different flavors of sangria made from their wine that they grow on site, and people line up. They've got a sangria love bus, VW bus looking cut out for people to get in and take pictures, and it's a highlight of many people's events.
Elk Run Vineyards and Winery.
Elk Run is one of our what I'll call heritage wineries that opened up in the 80s and 90s, and Fred and Carol and Julian at Elk Run make some incredible vinifera varieties, all vinifera, including some things you're not going to find elsewhere. They have a beautiful sparkling wine that they release every year or two. They've got a Gewürztraminer, which is probably my favorite white in the state, just because there is nothing more attractive than the aroma of Gewürztraminer and peaches and honey. And their Cabernet Sauvignon, their Merlot. In certain years, you'll get a red Zinfandel from Elk Run Vineyards in the ripest of years, the best years. They do have visits and a great historic tasting room. They are in Mount Airy, right along Route 26.
Far Eastern Shore Winery.
So Far Eastern Shore Winery is on the Far Eastern Shore. They are in Easton, right along Route 50.
It's not that far.
It's not that far. Tian Sang, who is the owner, is of Chinese heritage, and so that's a play on the Far Eastern side. Interesting tasting room, some very cool artifacts, cool things to look at in the tasting room, and then there's the wine. The wine is super popular. It's usually a grape-fruit blend, so you'll have some really, really interesting flavors to try from, but really good wines and great people and great tasting room.
Faulkner Branch Cidery and Distilling Company.
They are making hard cider, and they're on the path to distilling as well. So they are an apple and peach farm that has diversified into doing more interesting things with just apples and peaches and cider. They've got some incredible cider. One of my favorites is called Tax Ditch. Super bubbly, carbonated, delicious, and they've promised to move into the distilling realm as well. They're in Caroline County.
In Harford County is Fiore Winery, which has been around quite a while. It's one of the legacy wineries in Maryland.
It is very much so. Mike Rose, Tony, and Eric are producing incredible wines there. So Mike is known for producing a Sangiovese. Sangiovese won our Governor's Cup a number of years ago. It can, in the best years, be unmatchable. Great Meritage. His first Meritage that he just came out with is wonderful. Merlot, Chardonnay, Vidal. He makes a Moscato as well. And he's gotten into the distilling side very seriously. So he's making a rye and a bourbon and grappa and things that, in addition, moonshine, a couple of flavors of moonshine that are top notch.
Friday's Creek Winery, where is that?
Friday's Creek is in Calvert County. Really, really cool property. Old tobacco barn that's been converted into a tasting room facility, and then the backside of the barn is their winemaking facility and also a great event space. It's a family of old farmers and builders, home builders, and so it's a beautiful facility. And their wines are really cool, too. They've got blends called Patio White and Patio Red, which are very, very popular. They are growing some experimental grape varieties as well and making some Maryland-grown varieties, which are very cool.
Gemini Winery and Vineyards. Also in Maryland. Where in Maryland?
Gemini is in the Brandywine area in Prince George's County. And there's a new wine trail forming there, which we'll be announcing in a couple of weeks. And they're part of this trail. There are four wineries down there, all of which are new in the last two or three years, some just in the last year. Gemini opened up just this past year, becoming very, very well known for a couple of their wines. I haven't been there personally, but they're on my hit list to do this winter.
Great Frogs Winery.
So this is an interesting winery. They are in Annapolis. So they're about 5 minutes outside of town, downtown, on Spa Road. And for many years, they were simply a grower for a couple of wineries around the state. Great Frogs got their license a couple of years ago and is making a couple of lines of wines, one of which is a Vintner's Red, which is one of my favorites. It's a Tobacco Barn Reserve. Great glossy label, upgraded bottle. They're fetching a good price for it, but it's really good wine.
Great Shoals Cellars.
Great Shoals is making both cider. They started as just a cidery, making apple cider and then pear cider. And moving beyond that, they made an Aronia cider, elderberry cider. Any kind of local fruit that they can get, they'll turn it into a sparkling cider, which is delicious. They're also making some incredible dry wines as well, and sparkling wines, Blanc de Blanc and some other blends coming out of Great Shoals. So really, really impressive.
We're moving into the H's now, sticking with alphabetical order. Harford Vineyard.
Harford Vineyard in Harford County in Jarrettsville. Kevin and Teresa Mooney opened this winery a number of years ago. Their label shows their brand new winery building. Really cool as you drive in, because you have to drive through the vineyards to get down into the hollow where the winery is located. And they're making some great wines. Their Traminette and their Vidal have been favorites. Their Crimson Moon is a red blend that I love.
Harmony Vineyards.
Harmony is in northern Baltimore County, up in the Parkton area. And Kevin is the gentleman's name. And he for many years grew Merlot for Bassignani. And at some point decided that he was going to get into the wine business. And he's made some beautiful Merlot over the years, but also Cab blends and a rosé named after his wife. And really, really beautiful wines. He's one that's not open to the public, so you have to be in the know to get those wines.
Hidden Hills Farm and Vineyard.
Brand new. Opened up this year. They are located also in Mount Airy, kind of in the Newmarket, Mount Airy area. Some great wines, horse-themed. They're horse lovers. Bordeaux blends, mostly dry wines, and delicious.
Jane Mark Winery and Vineyard.
Opened by, as you could guess, Jane and Mark in Prince George's County. So they're in Brandywine as well. And they've come out with a couple of wines just this year, brand new. Again, the wines are charming. And, you know, I like to talk about the new wineries, because 15 years ago, a new winery would be met with resistance because it takes you a while to learn how to make wine. Nowadays, the knowledge base is such that it's hard to make a first wine that's bad. People are coming out with good wines or great wines right from the beginning, and Jane Mark's one of them.
Knob Hall Winery. Where is that, Kevin?
Knob Hall is in Washington County, and Dick and Mary Beth have made some really beautiful wines over the years. Prestige is one that's a red blend, a Bordeaux blend, and beautiful Vidal Blanc and Chardonnays and other wines. Two of my favorites right now are a red and a white sparkling from Knob Hall.
Layton's Chance Vineyard and Winery.
This is a multi-generation farm family that decided to diversify as a way to keep the kids on the farm, and the kids decided that they wanted to open a winery and plant a vineyard. Some interesting facts about how much you can make off of a few acres of grapes versus 300 to 400 acres of grain, and there's more to be made off of the wine on a smaller footprint. Their wines are really cool. They're best known for a Norton, which is a historic American grape variety, which is really, really great, super dark and rich. They've got a fun series of wines, and then a rosé that's great. In the summer, they'll come out with a watermelon wine made from fresh watermelon from the region. They're in Dorchester County, so they're mid-shore. Very cool wines, super approachable, and the price point won't scare you.
The next one is Linganore Wine Cellars in Frederick County.
Linganore Wine Cellars is the oldest single-family-owned winery in the state. So they opened up in 1976, Jack Allen and Lucille Allen as the proprietors. And just about all of the kids have been in the business in one way or the other. One's the vineyard manager, one's the winemaker. Another one came back to brew beer on the farm. Another was the sales person for the business for many years. And they're one that has a huge following. If you walk into any liquor store in the state, you'll find Linganore wine. And they've diversified from the super approachable, sometimes sweeter or fruit wines into now incredible red blends and a Chardonnay, which probably my hands-down favorite Chardonnay this year. Just really incredible what they've been able to do by retooling and refining how they're making wine. Their facility is impressive. It's in an old, I think it was a milking barn. And they've redone that, great event space upstairs. Vineyards are all throughout the drive on the way up. So it's a stunning place to go. And they've got an electric vehicle charging station. So always point that
very,
out.
Very, very cool. Little Ashby.
Little Ashby is one of our older, newer wineries. And for years made some incredible wines. Now I think they're by appointment only. The owner has been talking about retiring. But you could get a great Merlot from them. An incredible port from them as well.
Low Vineyards. Where would we find Low Vineyards?
Low Vineyards is practically across the street from Black Ankle and Elk Run. So they're right on Route 26 in Mount Airy. And Lois and Bill Low, now their granddaughter, have been very involved in helping to keep some legacy varieties is still in production, so you can go there and have wines that you're not going to find anywhere else. They've got one of my favorite wine names ever, Two Consenting Grapes. It's a blend of two different grape varieties and really, really charming wines.
Mazaroth Vineyard.
Brand new. Opened up last year.
They're Middletown.
Middletown, Frederick County, not too far off of I-70. And Gary is a former air traffic controller and decided that this was going to be his second career. He, his wife, and his schnauzer are patrolling the vineyards all the time. Some exceptional wines. He's making one white right now, and he's making one red right now. And the red is a Tannat. So it's the first commercial Tannat grown in the state.
In Maryland. Millstone Cellars. Where is Millstone Cellars?
Millstone is in Moncton in northern Baltimore County. And they make some artisanal ciders, interesting ciders. So we talked about Charm City before. This is going in the other direction. These are pitched as a bit more higher end, $25 bottles. They all have a flip cap, resealable top, but it's a full 750 ml bottle. And some of these border on, I'm excited about the sour beer trend as well, and some can be very tart, if not sour. It's in an old mill. It's a beautiful spot to visit right in Moncton. They are making so many different varieties that you almost have to go back monthly, and you'll catch some new things, but they've been very trendy. They've been in some national magazines as well.
Mount Felix Vineyard and Winery.
Mount Felix is located at the historic homestead of John Adlam. John Adlam was one of the first grape growers in Maryland and has some history in Maryland and U.S. politics. And they're up in Havre de Grace, right on the Susquehanna. They grow some grapes there. They've also entered into a larger business of making wine that has ended up being distributed around the East Coast.
New Market Plains. What does that mean, New Market Plains? Is that where it's located?
It is. It is in New Market.
On the plains? I didn't know we had plains.
On the plains in Newmarket. So you can actually see this vineyard along I-70.
70? Oh, okay.
As you're driving out, you're driving west, it's on the left, and you'll see Adventure Park, which is an amusement park,
right.
And then this pastoral vineyard.
Yeah.
They are, the Wilson family, Howard and Sue and Nate, are making what I think is one of my favorite whites of the year. It's incredible. It's a Muscat Blanc. It's delicious. It smells sweet, but it drinks dry, and it's an incredible pairing with all kinds of seafood. They also make very nice red blends and Chardonnay.
Old Westminster.
It's on Old Westminster Road, and it is an extremely photogenic family, mother, father, two daughters, and a son who have created this, what has become a destination winery. It's part of the new wave of Maryland wine, all estate-grown fruit in some of their wines, but they're also bringing in other local grapes and then vineyard designating it on the label. So you can get from them a Malbec that was grown by someone in Western Maryland who's also making their own Malbec. but they're selling some of their grapes, and they label it right on the label. So it's great to be able to taste their varieties. They're a bit on the cutting edge. They've made petulant natural wines, which are basically a natural sparkling wine, not incredibly effervescent, but just enough to be, you know, a delicious, bubbly wine. They also just announced that they are canning wines. So they are the first winery on the East Coast that has canned a traditional wine. So,
Is this a thing now?
It's a thing now. And so they've had a couple of releases, and it's been very popular. And
How big are the cans?
They are 12-ounce cans.
Like beer yeah. size. Huh. Yep. Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Olney Winery. Let me guess, it's in Olney, in Montgomery County?
It is. It's in downtown Olney. They started kind of as another make-your-own wine facility where you could go in and custom make your own wines and be involved in the winemaking process and pick it up later. And they eventually evolved in that business into making their own wines to sell to the public, partly as an example of what you can make there, but partly just for fun. So you can taste their wines made from grapes all over the world.
We're in Orchid Cellar now. Orchid Cellar. Oh, this is another meadery. They make mead too, huh?
They make mead. They also make wine. It is mean mead. It is some good stuff. A lot of it is sweet, very extracted. So to me, it is what I think of as traditional mead. And they've got a couple of different labels, Archer and Knight. And, you know, it's going back into the historic medieval themes. Some of my favorites are ones that they make. It's a traditional mead base, but then they add chili peppers to it. They introduced one a couple of years ago that was Hunter, and I forget which hot pepper it was that was in it. But then they came out with Big Game Hunter. And then they came out with Scorpion, which was made with scorpion peppers. And
ooh.
And Ghost, which was made from ghost peppers.
Have you tried all these?
Tried all of them. I am a heat fanatic. So I love it. And I've gone beyond it where
It must be very interesting with the heat, with the
sweet.
Mead and the honey.
You can smell it and you taste it and you think it's so sweet. And, you know, they're all looking at you waiting for the burn. And sure enough, 2 or 3 seconds later, you just feel this ferocious heat coming up through your body.
And then what do you do about that?
You have more of it. There's nothing you can do about it.
Where is this place, Orchid Cellar?
They are also in Frederick County.
All right, Peugeot Vineyards, where are they?
They are also in Calvert County. They're in St. Leonard. They make some really cool wines. Montepulciano is one that they make. So some Italian grape varieties. They make a red Zin as well, take advantage of some of the southern Maryland heat. Really cool place to visit. It's a little, the winery is actually in the basement of their home, but the tasting room is out amongst peaches, a peach orchard. So
nice.
You can walk in.
Port of Leonardtown Winery.
Port of Leonardtown holds the distinction of being the state's only true agricultural cooperative winery. So there is a winery that the county and the state was very involved in helping to fund. And they created this winery to give former tobacco growers some place to sell their grapes to. So the incentive was, we'll help you grow grapes. And then all these different farmers will bring their grapes into this one winery, which will hire a winemaker, and the winemaker will make wines. The winemaker there has, there have been two winemakers. Pat was the original winemaker, and boy, he was a genie. He helped to create incredible wines from 30 different grape varieties that would come in. And you can't have 30 or 40 different wines. So he would blend and do things that are incredible. They came out with a Reserve Barbera, which is a benchmark in the state, Reserve Chamberson, some rosés that are just stunning and to die for, a sweet Vidal dessert wine, kind of an ice wine style of this white grape, historic Maryland grape, called Autumn Frost. Incredible.
Red Heifer Winery.
Red Heifer is in Smithsburg, just outside of Fort Ritchie, the old Fort Ritchie in Washington County.
Okay.
So over the Catoctin, you know, through Catoctin from Thurmont, and you end up at Red Heifer.
Is there one county that has most of the wineries? Is it Washington County? Because you've mentioned that several times now.
Frederick, Washington, and Baltimore County, and now Prince George's County have high concentrations of wineries. So Red Heifer, really unique wines, all super small production. Kevin and Yvonne are the owners. Their label has gotten them some notoriety. You'll see stickers, "Hey Heifer," when you go to any of our events. They're distributing those, but they're known for some of their reds. They've got a great Vidal Blanc as well.
Robin Hill is one of the new wineries this year.
It is. It's in Brandywine, Prince George's County. Robin Hill is a part of this new fashion, old historic family farm that's converting into newer agriculture. And they decided that vineyards were the way to go. Something that's remarkable about them is they've been growing grapes for a number of years and refining that process. Their tasting room and winery is state of the art. And it's very cool, but they've kept this country feel. So you drive, you're on this very pastoral road, and you turn left into their driveway, and you drive through the vineyards and through a little patch of trees, and you end up with this winery on the hill. So it's really, really beautiful.
We're moving right along through the R's now. Rocklands Farm is the next one.
Rocklands Farm is in Poolsville, Montgomery County, outside of D.C., but what feels like pretty far outside of D.C. because it's very rural out there. One little one-lane road leads you to their property. And they've taken the path of converting some old barns into their production facility, and they've got an open-air tasting facility. So you walk in the bottom of the bank barn, and they've got their tasting set up. Some really interesting whites and reds of all varieties, but my favorites from them are blends, Rock Hill, Hillside, some things that you're not going to find unless you go there.
Romano Vineyard and Winery, where is that?
They're relatively new in Prince George's County, in Brandywine, part of the new wine trail we're going to be announcing. And they've made some very cool wines. Latest has been a Traminette, which is a hybrid grape variety, very aromatic, somewhere between Vidal Blanc and Gewürztraminer, if you know those two grape varieties. But they've got everything from dry varietal wines to blends to sweet and off-dry wines.
Royal Rabbit Vineyards, and I love the logo. It's looks like Henry VIII, a rabbit, Henry VIII holding up a cup of mead and a leg of lamb, maybe. I don't know.
It's about that, yeah.
It's a turkey leg. I don't know.
It's a rabbit of some royal descent.
Yeah.
Roy Albin is the winemaker there and has been making some wine, very small batch. One of my favorites of his is a Barbera. And he's made a great Barbera a couple of years in a row to the point where he's very unassuming and people would try it and immediately think, okay, all right, so this is a grape that can grow here. It's in Parkton.
Running Hare.
Running Hare Vineyard. So Running Hare is in Prince Frederick, Calvert County, and it is a stunning sight. It's a 300-acre farm, 1.5-lane dirt gravel drive on the way in, and once you get there, it opens up to this incredible scene of vineyards along the hillside and a true-to-form Tuscan villa up top, which is an event center. So there's lots of weddings and private nonprofit events.
When you say a villa?
It's stone. I mean, it looks like a traditional, it looks like you were airdropped somewhere into Italy.
Really?
And you're at the bottom of a hill looking up at this villa and grapevines, and it's really a cool setting. And their wines, they make a couple of different varieties of wine, some from Maryland fruit, some not from Maryland fruit. They make a jackrabbit white and I believe a red, and a dessert chamberson, which is something that people have gotten pretty excited about. It's a small bottle, 375 ml bottle, and people get wild about it.
Serpent Ridge Vineyard.
Serpent Ridge is in Carroll County, so they are a very cool small vineyard. They were one of the first in the state to be growing Albarino. They also have a red blend, which is called Basilisk, which for many years has been one of the top reds in the state. And again, very small vineyard, but worth a trip.
There's a vineyard in Maryland called Slack.
They are in far southern Maryland, about as far as you can go, at the end of the tip of St. Mary's County. So I guess you could hop to an island and go a little further, but they're in Ridge. and for many years, they've made some reds, red drum red, black drum red, named after some of our local fish. They made some beautiful sparkling wines as well. One of my favorites was an off-dry red sparkling wine, which has been in and out of stock over the years, but worth a trip. They've got a beautiful bed and breakfast as well.
Solomon's Island Winery.
Solomon's Island Winery is in Solomon's Island, Maryland, south of Annapolis, just before the bridge over into St. Mary's County. So they're at the bottom tip of Calvert County. And they make a variety of dry reds and whites all the way to some very unique wines. They've made a tulip wine from tulip extract, rose. There's been a sighting of a pumpkin wine here there as well. So very popular with our events. And they've got a new tasting room set up as well.
Springfield Manor Winery and Distillery in Frederick.
They are relatively new as well. They're also a vineyard you can see from Route 15 going up toward Thurmont. And Amy and John are the owners, and their kids are involved and have opened up now a brewery and a distillery. Their wines are quite interesting. I'll focus for a minute on their gin, which just won an international gold medal. It's a lavender gin. They are a lavender farm, so they're known for this incredibly delicious, almost purplish hue is what you think of it
gin.
When you're drinking it. It's gin,
wow.
And it's delicious there. So it's a very talented alcohol beverage producing family.
Back to the Eastern Shore for St. Michael's Winery.
St. Michael's Winery, their logo is the log, St. Michael's log canoe. Which is a traditional vessel that has been for many years handmade in St. Michael's, and people still make it today. Some really interesting wines made from local fruit and also not local fruit. One of my favorites of their local fruit is one called Long Splice, which is a blend of Chardonnay and Vidal Blanc. But they have been very involved in the winery industry over the years and have begun making wine for other wineries as well.
Next on our list is Sugarloaf Mountain Vineyard.
So here's one that is in Montgomery County, right at the base of Sugarloaf Mountain. They make incredible reds and red blends. Bordeaux blends, had one yesterday called Evo. They make one called Comus. Circe is another one. They make a stunning Pinot Grigio. Because of our climate here, we're able to make a very voluptuous Pinot Grigio. So it's not the more tight, astringent Italian varieties that a lot of people try for $8 a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really beautiful wines and worth the trip.
I like this name, Thanksgiving Farm.
So that's the traditional name of the farm. They are in Harwood in Anne Arundel County. So they're one of three wineries that we have in Anne Arundel County. And Doug and Maureen are the owners. And have done a really phenomenal job on a very small plot. Their vineyard is just a few acres. It's on their homestead. Their home is on the label. It's a beautiful old historic home. Their winery, on the other hand, is a very advanced but very small production facility where they make two beautiful red blends. One is just called Meritage. The other one is Farmhouse Red. And then they make what is my favorite trick wine, and it's called Franc Blanc, and it is Cabernet Franc, which is a red grape,
right,
that is quickly pressed, and then the juice is not allowed to sit, it's not let to sit on its skins, so there's relatively no color imparted. So you drink this wine, you think it's a white wine, and you get it in your mouth, and there's something a little different about it, and it's because the tannin from the Cab Franc skins had come just when you crush the grape. Just enough gets in there that you, blindfolded, you think it's a light red wine.
I was going to say, it's a mind game.
You think it's a light red wine, but it's this beautiful white wine. It's very cool to try, and it pairs with so many different things.
Franc Blanc. The Urban Winery, where is this one, Kevin?
Urban Winery is downtown Silver Spring. So this is a place where you can go and have dinner. You can order wines from dozens of Maryland wineries that are on the list, but you can also try wines that they made themselves, and you can also make your wine there. So it's a one-stop shop for a wine lover.
The Vineyards at Doden, D-O-D-O-N. I don't know why I want to pronounce this with a Scottish brogue.
The winemaking tradition is certainly more French than Scottish.
So this is the Vineyards at Doden.
Okay, we'll take it. incredible property. It is in Anne Arundel County, so it's in Davidsonville, not too far off of Route 50. And the wines are stunning. So you can get their top-tier wines, which are a hefty price, but I think if you want to dive in and try a benchmark Maryland wine, the new Maryland wine, go to Doden and buy their Orinoco, which is a beautiful red blend, Cab Franc Merlot, maybe Petit Verdot in there, but just a stunning, stunning wine. They make a white blend made from Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc as well, but a great place to go, beautiful tasting room, open by appointment, but they're happy to see you.
Tilghman's Island Winery. Now, there's a Tilghman Island, but this is spelled T-I-L-M-O-N, Tilghman's Island.
Spelled with the last name of the owner, Don Tilghman. Don and Judy have been operating this winery since, I believe, 2001. And they've announced that they're retiring and selling as long as they have wine left to sell. But Don's been making the wine himself from a very small vineyard that he's got out back at his house, and they're, I believe they're in Queen Anne's County, northern Queen Anne's County.
Toasted Goat Winery. Love the name. Where is that one, Kevin?
So this is one that I've yet to get to, but it's brand new. It is in and around Frostburg, and the owner, Donnie, is a super nice, approachable guy. Tried one of their wines, which was good, and again, it goes back to, you know, the learning curve has hopefully gone away, and people are opening up and making great wines from the start.
Triple Creek Winery.
Triple Creek is in Talbot County, or Talbot County, as they would say.
If you don't mind, Talbot County.
Talbot County. And they are, again, a historic farm family that has decided to diversify, and they've been through the greenhouse business, and they grew English cucumbers for many years, and then grapevines, and decided that grapes and wine are a business they want to be in. And
they haven't combined cucumbers with wine yet.
No, but I have had cucumber wine.
Yeah,
it's quite nice. You should try their garlic wine too. But Triple Creek's great, and they've also begun to get in the business of working with other winemakers.
Turkey Point Vineyard.
Turkey Point is a relatively new startup in Cecil County. They're in Northeast, and Doris and Eric are the owners, and they make a variety of wines. Two of my favorites, one is called Elk Neck Gold, which is a blend of white grapes, and it is a semi-sweet, aromatic white. It's beautiful. Then they sparkled it, and they made Elk Neck Bubbly, which if they would let me buy more than two bottles, I would. But it's a two-bottle limit every time I go. Super beautiful wine. If you like Moscato and then get into some of the sparkling, sweeter Italian wines, this is it.
Whistle Stop Winery. Where is that one?
Whistle Stop is in Dunkirk and is brand new. Jarl Wyant is the owner, and has been making some cool wines, still trying to find some local vineyards to sell him grapes, so he's importing the fruit, but his first few wines have been very nice.
How about Willow Oaks Craft Cider and Wine?
Willow Oaks Craft Cider and Wine is in Frederick County, and they are small producers. You're not going to find their product unless you see them at an event or visit them on site, and they've got smaller, very pretty bottles, and they're making cider. So we've had a couple, one of their ciders won a gold in our competition, and Eric and Lori are great people.
Wine cream. One word, wine cream.
So we're gonna end with ice cream made with wine.
Is that what this is?
That's what this is.
Wow.
So this is a fresh ice cream that I think you can now pick it up. They've got a storefront, but you can also pick it up in certain marketplaces. But where they excel is on a hot day at an event. And
is this storefront?
Their storefront, I believe, is in West Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not hip to this. I guess I better be.
You need to try this because when you actually go there and see them make the wine, it's a fresh ice cream that they're making by freezing cream with liquid nitrogen and adding wine into it. So you get to choose your wine flavor, your inclusions.
What do you think of it?
I love it.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's a go-to, you know, once it's hot at an event where we're working trying to promote Maryland wine, I always want to know how far I am from the wine cream.
Yeah, FYI, wine cream is located at 208 South Pulaski Street in Baltimore. Kevin, I have one more question for you. Thank you again for doing this.
Oh, this
has been great.
This was fun.
What type of wine do you like with Thanksgiving dinner, with turkey and all the trimmings? You don't have to give me a brand, but I mean, what type of wine? Yeah.
I tend to get confused around Thanksgiving, and the typical advice is a red blend that can match all the different flavors.
Yeah.
And something that's different and unique on the white side, like a Gewürztraminer, because you're trying to stand out. If you think of a traditional Thanksgiving meal, there's no hope. You're not going to find one wine to pair with it.
It's perfect with everything.
So I go the different route, and my wife and family are amused by it. But when it comes time for Thanksgiving dinner, there will be 8 bottles of wine out. I just open it up. Anybody who wants to try anything with anything, go for it.
Yeah.
My favorites, Cabernet Franc, Sangiovese.
Yeah. I like cabs with turkey dinner for some reason. I don't know. I got hooked on that years ago.
Go for it.
It made sense to me. Well, thank you very much for doing this, Kevin. And I mentioned before, touring, visiting these places around, you'd see a lot of Maryland, and you'd visit some really pretty places and sip some nice wine, too.
Hope to see you on the wine trail.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast tour of Maryland's vineyards and wineries, all 70 of them, with Kevin Addicks of the Maryland Winemakers Association. For more information about each winery, where they're located, when they're open for tours and tastings, go to MarylandWine.com. And that's our show for now. We'll be taking a break for the Thanksgiving holiday and be back with new episodes next week. The producers of Roughly Speaking are Steve Early, Quinn Kelly, sometimes Christina Tasek. This is Dan Rodericks here at the Baltimore Sun. Thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking. Please review the show on iTunes if you get a chance. It really helps. See you again soon, and have a great Thanksgiving.